Welcome back to What Do You Want to Watch, the show hosted by myself, Nathan English, and
David Dirks.
And we're going to be talking about movies that we have seen recently that are mostly still in theaters. We're going to be reviewing some, I guess, a wide range of options, actually, and letting you know if it's worth it for you to go spend your money to go see them. It's a little 2024 movie update, release something other. We're recording a podcast. Listen to it. That's all.
Hey.
All right, David. Both of us have been, you know, watching movies, obviously, but also I think as of recently, my move and stuff slowed me down a little bit, but I've been picking back up recently and seeing a lot more movies in theaters. And then you're the same as well. So it was your idea to just talk about some of the new releases, probably let people know if they're worth it, honestly. So David, why don't you kick us off? We're just going like the last 2 months or so. What's the first movie you saw in theaters in that time frame you want to talk about?
I think I'm going to start with Civil War. Okay. I watched this. I logged this April 28th. I think this came out, honestly, pretty before that date, though.
It was a couple of weeks before. I saw it April 14th, which was the Sunday after it opened.
Okay, yeah. So I couldn't see it immediately, but luckily I was still able to watch it. But yeah, Civil War, this is a movie that we previewed, and a movie that it's one of those movies that we have, like, this could be really, really good. I'm kind of excited, but we don't really know much about one, like, plot wise or what to expect. And we know Alex Garland, has a history of some really good movies. Some of which being Ex Machina, Annihilation. I watched Men. It was fine. There were some cool, like, you know, visuals. Aspects of it. But I came away, honestly, I liked it. Kirsten Dunst was in this. Her husband, in a very small and not even credited role, Jesse Plemons, was in this, which was actually like the funniest part of the movie.
He was terrifying.
Perfect. Yeah, but he was so good, though, you know?
He was terrifying in it, yeah.
Let's see. You got Nick Offerman. You got Kaylee Spaney. Spaney, I think is her name. And I didn't recognize her at first. Yeah, she is Priscilla in the new Priscilla movie about her and Elvis Presley. Kind of
told
from. Do you
know
from...
what else she's in this year? What the boys are back for? She's the main character in Alien Romulus.
I was trying to look at her like her biography of movies, and I was like, "What is he saying?" And I missed it. Alien. Oh, okay, dude. So yeah. She's doing Priscilla, which is a drama. You know, what would you consider that? Like a biopic, I guess.
A biopic from an auteur director from Sofia Coppola.
Yeah, Civil War, which is like a thriller.
Big indie thriller from A24. And now she's making a studio horror film of which
horror
she's
movie.
The main character. She's
and having it's all a weird... the same year.
Yeah, she's
where did
hitting
she come
all
from?
Apparently, well, she's had some like smaller roles. I think child actor a little bit. Was in Mayor of Easttown, which is an HBO show. Was in Vice. It's a you know portraying a teenager in Vice. Was in Bad Times at the El Royale. But from what I understand, she was cast in Civil War, and then Kirsten Dunst recommended her to Sofia Coppola because they're very good friends. And then Sofia Coppola cast her as Priscilla. And then I guess she was getting buzz and so like next step, she's very smart. Was like, let's give me a franchise movie. What are we going to do? The new Alien movie. That's a horror movie directed by Fede Alvarez. Let's do that. So
yeah,
I don't know. Whatever she's doing, it's working. It's a good trajectory.
Well, I think it's also, even I do this. I think it's easy to think a movie comes out and the studio execs watch the movie like, oh, she's good. We should hire her. There's so many behind the scenes things. I feel like, we'd never hear of an actor, and then they come out in four movies. And it's like, oh, now they're big. It's like, nah, people have known about her. That's why they're in these movies. So I think it's easy to forget about that, too.
Yeah,
But absolutely. No, it was I really enjoyed it. I'm just going to give the rating. I think it's been out a decent amount. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I was kind of buffering, like, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10. I enjoyed it. It's a 3.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd. And it is one of those, like, I think you might have mentioned this briefly of, like, like, what point was he trying to prove? And I think I almost wonder if that was intentional. And obviously, you'll expand more on it. I think that was an intentional part of this movie, where it's literally there's some, you got some media members who are just sharing what's happening in real time, and they don't lean a certain way, and they're just doing their job as like that, the media trying to be unbiased, and we're just in the literally in the middle of a civil war. And so some really cool shots, like some cool action scenes with the gunfire, really a couple hard to watch scenes, especially like when they shoot the picture, or when they get a certain shot, it's like that's kind of tough to see. And then a couple obviously funny moments with Jesse Plemons, and I think for Halloween I'm gonna wear a army uniform with the pink heart glasses like he did. So enjoyed it. Definitely a movie that makes you evaluate and just think critically after watching it. You know, it's not like, oh, that was fun, let's go eat dinner. It's more like a, well, okay, you know.
Yeah, so, it's not.
What did you think?
It's like, it's a really big action movie that's decidedly not fun, which I think is part of the point. That's supposed to be brutal. It's visually like amazing. I think that I've even come around further on it, that I don't really care what he's trying to say. And sometimes I do when a movie comes out, and sometimes I don't. I was trying to figure out what he wanted to say. I think it was incendiary of him on purpose to make the movie called Civil War with the discourse happening right now. But then to not really talk about political ideology. I mean, there's clearly like, obviously the current government is supposed to stand for some sort of right wing, like ultra fascist. And it seems like the people who are fighting against them are like liberal left wing, far left, possibly. But they don't really get, they're like buzzwords thrown up, but they don't really get into what happens. But I honestly think that makes the movie more interesting, because one, you can just use your imagination. You can fill in stuff. But two, it's kind of a depiction of like, I think what Alex Garland is trying to say, I don't know if I necessarily agree with him on this, is like everybody's the same. Like you see both sides commit atrocities. You see both sides do awful things. Like everybody is the same, I think is what he's trying to say, which I thought was very interesting. But like,
or maybe even like no one's right. No certain position or group's right, because everybody does the same thing on some level, kind of thing. Interesting. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the last 20 minutes of this movie, the last 30 minutes of the movie, when they're actually storming Washington, D.C., which isn't really a spoiler because it's in the trailer, like, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Is like some of the best action filmmaking I've seen in the last 10 years. Like it was so gripping, especially when they're moving through the White House, like they're actually storming the White House. It's not like a White House down, Olympus has fallen. Like it's like he's trying to show how it would be in a war, which I thought was just very interesting and just really gripping. I saw this in IMAX. I know my girlfriend jumped multiple times at certain scenes because the sound design in this is excellent. So I would recommend it. I think it's very an entertaining film, even if it's not a fun movie, which is kind of two things that are kind of contradictory to each other often.
You probably won't be surprised with this at all, but I found myself like in that intense part of the end of the movie, like ducking, like, dude, get out of the way. You know, she's trying to get the shot. I'm like, you know, ducking, which you're not surprised, because when I like game, I'm like doing the same thing. But I like found myself like, oh, you know, as I punched my mic. So,
absolutely. So I'm going to talk about a movie that's much worse than that. And you may not have even noticed that this is on my list. Someone Like You is a film that I saw in a movie theater. Now, I will start this by saying, I love my girlfriend with more than I have ever loved a single person in my life. And when I tell you that she sometimes picks the worst films ever to go watch, this is one of those. So Someone Like You is a Christian movie. And this is the plot, David. I'm just going to read this to you. Shocking news hits after young architect Dawson loses his best friend, London. London is a woman. If just in case that's not clear. In his heartbreak, Dawson is compelled to launch an impossible search for London's secret sister, twins that were separated as embryos. Along the way, Dawson never planned to fall in love. So essentially, this movie is about the one twin dies, and they're portrayed by the same people, and he doesn't know she's a twin. She dies, and then the family is like, by the way, we like used IVF and there is another embryo out there and we gave it to another couple. And so he tracks this girl down. Like they then like start hanging out, and then he just ends up like falling in love with her. like his twin. This movie's terrible. It's so bad. It makes no sense in the way that the characters interact with each other. There is no character development whatsoever. The only thing we know about Dawson is that he is an architect and he loves Jesus, which those aren't necessarily bad traits, obviously, to have in a person. But the way, and this is what bothers me as a person who is a Christian, the way that this movie chooses to represent Christians is that they just like sometimes will just be real quiet and they'll just bow their head and they'll be like, oh, they're praying. And like that means that they're Christians. Or they will do things like say, like, I know who calms my storm to random strangers in public, you know, when people are stressed out. And it's just like cookie cutter, like cliche. It's poor filmmaking. The shot composition's bad. The acting's not very good. The writing's pretty bad too. And it's just not, it just wasn't good. I just didn't like a single moment of it. And I'm just pleading for someone to make a good Christian movie. One of the I should say there are good Christian movies. Silence, for example. But I would love for one of these Christian studios to actually, instead of just having a concept and trying to find a way to shoehorn God into it at any moment that they possibly can in illogical ways, actually depicting real life and then maybe depicting Christians struggling through that, which this movie did not do, much like most movies that are on pure flicks, which are just like, and then I learned about Jesus and everything was better. And also, this movie does the God's not dead thing. Spoiler alert for both films. I'm sorry, this is too long of a rant for this movie, but I'm going to continue. Where the this guy's best friend, London, is not a Christian. And then right as she gets hit by a car, and then right as she is dying on the pavement, she's like, I love God, and then dies. So we, the audience, can feel good about the fact that she's probably going to heaven. Stupid. Stop doing that. That's dumb. That's a dumb storytelling device. It's dumb. Don't do it. Stop it. Dumb. Okay. David, yeah. What's your next movie? 1 out of 5 stars, by the way, just in case anybody's wondering.
Honestly, like, I thought last year Jesus Revolution, Sound of Freedom were pretty decent, especially when you compare it to the other Christian movie landscape. And those were a little more mainstream. Those weren't like 100% Christian, but the message they told kind of had that vibe. So I was like, oh, yeah, these are actually pretty decent compared to Heaven is for Real.
You're right. This is a lot like
it's,
that.
Yeah. It's tough. But actually, Nathan, that's the only other movie I've seen in theaters except for the one we're going to talk about. I have like a 2024 movie that I watched in April that I watched at home. I think that was actually might have a direct-to-streaming release. Night Swim?
No, it wasn't, but you would like to, you could talk about, Night Swim was fine.
Yeah, right? It was fine. Some cool, like, ideas, it was different, like, oh, it's in a pool, I guess I haven't seen that before, but kind of just silly pool decision-making.
Interesting, but at a certain point, not very interesting, so yeah.
Yeah, okay. After 30 minutes, you're like, okay, I get it, you know?
Well, then I will run through one incredibly quickly because I'm one of the 8 people on the planet I think saw this movie. Guy Ritchie's new movie, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, is fine. And it is an action movie that has some funny quips at certain points, has some decent action scenes at other points. It's a team up, shoot 'em up, based on a true story, although it doesn't really seem that it's actually that. Most of what's depicted is obviously more violent and over the top, but it's about a team of like black ops specialists in World War II who are dismantling the U-boat headquarters to try and help the Americans come into the war, because the big fear at the time was the U-boat superiority, which is German submarines. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. It's got Henry Cavill in it. It's fine. It's a Guy Ritchie movie. It's got quips. The cutting and the editing style is not the same as most Guy Ritchie movies, though. It's a little slower, which I think actually hurt the film. It's not memorable. It's a fun, like, decent action movie. You know, I would recommend this if it's, like, free on streaming and you're looking for something to watch on, like, a Friday night and turn your brain off. This is fine. It's decent for what it is. But I didn't go in expecting much, and I didn't leave expecting much. Mm-hmm. I understand why this movie didn't do well at the box office, just because I don't know that he's providing anything different than what he's done in a lot of other movies. And Cavill was fine. Alan Richardson was funny. But most of most of everything in this movie was just okay. But Nazis get killed, which is always a good time. So
true. Yeah, I kind of honestly, like, seeing the trailer, I'm like, this feels like a 3 or 3.5 star movie out of 5. Mm-hmm. But I was like, it looks kind of fun, quippy, like, might be an entertaining watch. And it seems like that was that for you, but just a little maybe less than that. So maybe that's kind of what we expected. Guy Ritchie, I feel like, I mean, he's had some good stuff, but Is it safe to say he's kind of hit or miss? I thought The Covenant was good. I think
he's working too much.
Sherlock Holmes is good. Yeah, Gentleman was fine. You know,
I would like him to go back to what he was doing. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch. Those are the films. His British, like, his kind of trashy British crime films, I think, were great. I think he's just working too much. He's like making so many movies right now. I think he's already got like another 3 movies planned, and I'm sure he's doing fine. He seems to be financing a lot of these himself, and you know, he seems to be happy, so good on him, but it's just too many movies. I think he maybe should just slow down a little and, you know, put more care into writing some of these. So
yeah, he's got a 2019, 2021. He's got 2 in 2023. He just dropped a 2024. And Aladdin 2 scheduled, and
he's just doing a lot. He's doing too much, I would say. So
also, Guy, if you're listening, by the off chance, I don't think Aladdin 2 needs to happen, my guy.
No. Who's the genie? Because I bet you're not going to do Will's. You know what? That's too much. Let me get to this other movie.
That'd be a big hit.
All right, David. That was bad, but good. That really was. Challengers. I'm going to talk about Challengers real quick, and then we'll get to the last movie. Watch Challengers. This is just, everybody go see it. This movie was so much better than I was expecting it to be. I know you expressed that you thought the trailer was corny, which I would almost agree with. I think the trailer was overplayed, and I was not super interested in it from the trailer. I went to go watch it because I know Zendaya is good. I had heard that Mike Feist and Josh O'Connor, the two other main characters, were very good in the film. And it's Luca Guadagnino, who for me is a director that I will go watch.
You said that with confidence. That sounded good.
And I think a lot of people are expecting this movie to have more sex in it than it does. It does not actually have that much sex in it, but it is a steamy, like, romantic thriller that I think is very well done. The character arcs are incredibly entertaining and interesting to watch. The way that this movie is shot, it's not just like a boring boilerplate romance. The score, Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross, it's like the Social Network score. Like that electronic buzzing that's like getting you going. And the camera's like zooming in and out, rotating a bunch, spinning all the time during the tennis scenes. Like, it's a movie about tennis, but you don't have to be like a tennis person to know what's going on. I thought it was incredibly entertaining. This is the second best movie I've seen this year. After Dune Part 2, this is the best movie that I've seen this year. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I would highly recommend it to anybody that even has a passing interest in like a romantic thriller genre, just likes watching Zendaya, likes sports movies. I think it does all of those things well. I think it has an understanding of interpersonal relationships and how intense ego can get in the way. And how it manifests in different people. Everybody in this movie is like a competitive jerk, but in different ways. I think it's really interesting. There's no like true good person, but they're all in many ways the protagonists. You're like rooting for them all and rooting against them all at the same time. It was genuinely amazing. And it's 2 hours. It was a blast. It's not boring. You know, there's no like boring dialogue scenes where you're like, oh, can we get through this? That is not happening in this movie. The three main leads have so much chemistry with each other as well. I just thought it was excellent. So I would highly, highly recommend this to anyone.
Yeah, this is kind of seems, I've gotten the vibe that this is very similar to Babylon. If like those who have watched it have really enjoyed it, but it's really not in, like gotten much traction. And it's probably, I would imagine, just because of the R rating and this, you know, the perceived subject and topic of the movie.
I went in thinking there was going to be like a lot more sex scenes in this. And let me tell you guys, I'm watching Bridgerton right now with my girlfriend, and there's way more stuff in Bridgerton than there was in Challenge.
Yeah, dude, Bridgerton sucks. I haven't watched it, but I've heard
it's a lot. But this, there's really not. And I think that that may have turned some people off. I think also it's like a smaller, it's a tennis movie. And like people go to movies now for like events. Like, let's go watch a giant monkey and a giant lizard fight another giant monkey and a giant lizard. Like, that's what people go to movies now, and they wait for this to come out on streaming. It's an Amazon movie. I think once it hits like Amazon Prime, it's going to be like the number one movie on that service for like 2 months. Because everybody, and then people are going to be like, oh my gosh, Challengers, it's amazing. But if you have the chance to see it, and I think it plays really well in the theater, specifically because of the score. Reznor and Atticus Ross are maybe the best film composers working outside of Hans Zimmer right now. They did the score for, obviously, The Social Network. They've also done Soul and why can I not think of the Paul Thomas Anderson movie? Phantom Thread, I think. No, something else. I don't know what I'm thinking of. No, Phantom Thread's Johnny Woodcock. They're two of the like most prominent film composers working right now. I think The Social Network score for me is like top 10 all time. This is on that level. Like, it's genuinely their best work since 2010. And they're very good at what they do. So
you're saying his name is Atticus?
I think so. Trent Reznor.
That's such a cool name. Like,
yeah. Also Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, which is maybe the best band name ever too. So
that's pretty hype.
Yeah. So I, David, I know that you may not have time to go see this in theaters. If you do, I'd recommend it. I think you and Sophie would genuinely really enjoy it. So
I actually don't think it's even showing at the Hangar anymore.
Be playing anymore.
Yeah.
Because it was only on there for like 2 weeks. I think it'll probably hit, if I had to guess, it'll hit Amazon like September-ish, maybe a little earlier than that, just in time for them to try to get Oscar buzz for at least Zendaya in the score. So
yeah. Yeah, well, it's like, we talked about 2024 in movies, but then it's like, okay, this came out. Well, then Fall Guy came out, and then Planet of the Apes, and I think that probably pushed Challengers out because there's just like people are dropping movies, and it just keeps going.
And now we're having Furiosa in like a week. You know?
So we're actually getting a decent amount of movies.
Yeah. All right, David, let's talk about the one we have in common. The movie that maybe I was most excited to see outside of Furiosa like this year, honestly, which I don't know if I really... Now, Gladiator 2. This and Gladiator 2. But it's Ryan Gosling's new movie, The Fall Guy, which is kind of bombing at the box office, unfortunately. Both of us have seen this. It's a action comedy loosely based on a TV show. It's about a stunt guy who has to try and find the main actor that he is a stunt double for in order to save the film of his former lover who he is trying to get back. And that lover is played by Emily Blunt. I thought this was exactly what I wanted it to be. It was funny. It had a lot of great moments. It was good action. I don't know that there was anything deeper than that. And I don't think I needed it to be. I thought him and Emily Blunt had great chemistry. I think Ryan Gosling is what people think Ryan Reynolds is.
This is a man that might be that might be a really good take.
Does action comedy better than anyone. Go back to rewatch The Nice Guys. If you have any questions about how funny Ryan Gosling is, rewatch The Nice Guys. I think he does his brand so well in every movie that it doesn't get stale for me. The way that Ryan Reynolds going like, oh, I'm Deadpool and everything does get really stale for me, which he's going to be doing Deadpool and obviously Deadpool 3, but also this new John Krasinski If movie, which I have no interest in seeing whatsoever, or imagine, I don't even know what it's called.
But you know who will want to see it? Alyssa. So you'll find yourself in the theaters watching
she
it.
She won't.
Oh, really?
You're over us. She's mentioned Inside Out 2. That's the only movie from 2024.
And you're like, hey, I can work with that.
Even a passing interest. And I was like, that's fine. Yeah. Everything else, she's like, I don't care. David, what did you think of The Fall Guy?
I really enjoyed it. I agree with you. It was everything I was expecting it to be. I think this movie like really relies on the two like main characters having chemistry together. And I think Emily and Ryan really had good chemistry. I think they're actually pretty good friends outside of this movie. So it seemed like it was easy for them. And so that didn't feel forced. That was nice. But I agree. Ryan Gosling's he's hilarious. He's from the same character he was in Barbie. Just kind of like the silly, lighthearted, comedic relief of the movie. Of course, he had a little more in this movie just because he was kind of the main character. But no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I thought the needle drops were awesome. I know it's still kind of new. I won't spoil the needle drop, but that might be the funniest part of the movie when she pulls up and he surprises him and he's listening to that. I'm like, that's so funny, dude.
Well, and this is a movie where I say this with literally so much love and respect. This is a movie my dad is going to see in 6 months. He's going to be like, that's a film right there. Because it's got enough classic rock in it that he's going to be like, this is great. This is exactly what I want. And it's funny. And it's an action movie. And you turn it on for 2 hours and that's all you need. You know, you don't have to think. You can like, this is a forget your troubles movie. Like genuinely. I went to this movie after a day of work and Alyssa and I went and saw it together. We're kind of up later, like so I was kind of worried about how I was going to feel about work tomorrow, but I walked out of it like, yeah, that was worth it. It was absolutely worth it because it was 2 hours. I had a great time. It's exactly what I wanted, and we came out of it and we're like, yeah. And I may not need to think deeply about this movie in the future, but not every movie has to do that. I think this was perfect what it needs to be.
Yeah. And honestly, how I like, you know, there's like the unbiased rating of this is what this movie really was. And then there's like my personal reflection of what did I really think about this movie? I feel like the line or the bar that I set is like, I walk out of there and I'm like, I'm excited to rewatch that again in 6 months. And I think this hit that for me. Mm-hmm. Like I could tell I enjoyed it enough because I'm like, when this comes out on streaming, I'm probably going to watch it again. And so rewatchability is huge. And I think this checked that box for me. So yeah, I enjoyed it. It was funny. Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling are just such good actors, even outside of comedy. We've talked about Emily Blunt for quite a bit on this podcast of like edges. Like she has quite a bit of solid performances. And then a couple questionable decision of movies that she chooses, but hey, she's talented nonetheless. And so I really enjoyed this. And, Aaron Taylor Johnson, I thought was good as well. And, Winston Duke in the small role that he had, I thought he was funny. He had his moment there with like what, right as part three of the movie started. And so,
which is very funny if you've seen, and it's also a movie, if you've seen a lot of older action movies and stuff, they reference those all the time. And they reference like 80s and 90s TV shows. I think that's cool too. That adds to it. I also love movies about movies. I know that you're the same way, but this is a movie about movies. And it actually shows you like some of how they do stunt work, which I thought was really interesting. Like the scenes where they're like showing you how they barrel roll a car or how they get this helicopter shot or things like that. Like I thought that was really interesting. And so I enjoyed this. I think that outside of Atomic Blonde for me, this is David Leitch's best film. I think it's certainly better than Bullet Train. I also liked it more than Hobbs and Shaw, obviously. and Deadpool 2. Like I thought this was a legitimately good movie. I hope it makes up its budget internationally. Cause I think maybe they needed to make this movie for just a little bit cheaper. It does seem to have a pretty high budget, but this is the kind of movie that I want. Like, this is a perfect summer movie. I think this is exactly what I'm looking for. Like, hey, let's go out on a Thursday or Friday night and let's go get some popcorn and let's go watch a movie. And this is what I'm looking for. So,
well, and they were wondering too, this is the first time in like, I feels like 7 or something years that a Marvel movie hasn't kicked off the summer in May. And The Fall Guy had that spot for the first time. And I was reading that they were really curious of like, what is this going to do now that it's not a Marvel movie? And so it's made $105 million gross worldwide, and the budget's $130. So there's still about $25 million under budget, according to what IMDb says the budget is.
And normally you've got to make about double to actually break even. So we'll see what happens. And another thing is, like, we just got to – this is worse for maybe people who just watch movies at home, but I think you just got to, like, reinforce the scarcity thing. You got to make it so these movies don't come out on streaming for a while. And I think that'll push more people into the theater because a lot of people saw this and were like, yeah, that's great. I'll wait until it gets to Netflix, you know, which is fine. But like that means they're going to stop making those movies because nobody's paying to see them. So we'll see what happens.
Well, and that's what I did. I was looking through my 23 and 24 movies. I'm like, Roadhouse, I'll wait. Night Swim, I'll wait. Napoleon, I'll wait. Zone of Interest, Anatomy of a Fall. And like now those two, I wish I would have seen in theaters, but I didn't get to. So there's just so many of like, this will come out in a month and a half and I can just watch it then. Right. So yeah,
I would agree with that. It feels like is we're only going to movies like that we're dying to see or that are feel like big events. I'm curious to see what Planet of the Apes ends up doing. I know that you're going to see it tonight and I'm going to go see it this weekend. But I just really want to know how that film's going to turn out. I think that'd be very interesting. And Furiosa. I think Furiosa is going to bomb, which is not actually a problem because Mad Max Fury Road bombed, and that doesn't necessarily determine the quality of a movie. But I think that we're reaching a point where, like, even Dune 2, like, That movie gets released 10 years ago. Dune 2 is making a $1.5 billion. It's released now, and it's like not even cracking a billion.
What is it, $600 million?
Yeah, something like that.
So, I'm surprised. I figured that would get to close to a billion.
But like things just don't stay in the culture for so long because Dune is already on VOD. Like you can already buy it and rent it at home. There's no desire to go to the theater. And I think they just got to figure that out. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully. So. But yeah, that was kind of our last month of cinema, I guess, if you want to call it. And there's been maybe like, I know Dune came out. So it's not been like, wow, these blockbuster Oppenheimer and blockbuster art Barbie and all this stuff. But like, I feel like there's been a lot of like good movies coming out. Last year, we feel like there was like great movie, great movie, great movie. I feel like already though, it's been like, there's been a couple like good movies. And like, is that okay? Like, especially with the strike, excuse me. Like, maybe that's all we can ask for. We got some good movies and I'm satisfied, you know?
Yeah. I think last year was an all-time year. So this year's not living up to it necessarily. But look, there's still things on the corner. We got Furiosa, baby. We got Gladiator 2,
Alien.
Yeah, like, come on. We got a new Alien movie. Like, we're eating it. And then that M. Night Shyamalan movie actually looks, like, really good. Yeah. I think we'll have a couple of movies that are going to be like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like in the next 3 months, I'll be like, wow, that was really good. Like, I'm really glad. I'm really glad I got to see that. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good. Nathan, anything else on movies, cinema the last month or so?
Go see the Monkey movie. Looks like it's good, you know?
Do it.
Go see it. Apes Together Strong. Do it, you know?
Come on. Hey, you know, sometimes you can turn your brain off and just enjoy like really good, just move like visually stunning movies. And I think this is one of them. The picture of the antagonist, he just looks so real. It looks so good. And I'm excited to see kind of how they put this whole world together for this movie.
Hear me out. You could turn your brain on because it's my guy Caesar, top five character of all time. My boy's out there.
True.
Arc was beautiful. So
that's actually very true.
Thanks, Matt Reeves. Thanks, Matt Reeves. Yeah.
So last question of the trilogy. We'll agree on this question. Of the trilogy, Rise, Dawn, War. What is your favorite one? Yeah, it's Dawn. The second one.
It's Dawn.
It's so good.
Dawn is so good. It is the Dark Knight of that trilogy. The way that the movie just builds to this crescendo of Koba versus Caesar is excellent. They do such a good job with the slow burn. War is way more depressing than I remember. I remember War being different. Kind of depressing, but it's really depressing.
Yeah.
And I think it was an interesting end to that saga. But it was sad. Like, I was legitimately, like, real sad after watching that. I think Dawn is kind of sad, but Dawn's just, like, pure enjoyment, I think, at the end of the movie.
And it starts, like, a close-up on his war-painted face, and it zooms out. He's on the horse. I'm like, that's so cool. That's so cool. So, cool. Well, we'll sign off with that. We're seeing Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes this week. You should watch it as well. Fun movies to watch. Movies are fun to watch. Cinema is awesome. And so, you know, make sure your family's a priority. You know, make sure your job's a priority. But then third, watch a movie. Enjoy that time. And
I put it above job personally, but you do what you want.
That's fair. If it won't get you fired, sure. Hey, you know. So, hey, on that note, we've told you what you need to watch. So you don't need to ask that question of what do you want to watch. We've answered that for you. So we'll talk to you later. Bye. Deuces.